everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
We are on the internet at DallasHoopsCast.com. You can check out our recent article where we broke down the Mavs' first half schedule. Remember, you can also share your thoughts on what we say here in the pod on Twitter. I'm at underscore Sydney Myers, or our YouTube channel is Dallas Hoops Cast. I post every episode there. To our YouTube listeners, first of all, thank you everybody for listening. But on YouTube, when you subscribe, leave a comment with what subscriber number you are and any question that you would like for us to answer or talk about in the next episode. If you're already subscribed, just leave a comment with a question and we'll discuss it in a future episode. Episode? It's not like I said episode. Did I say episode? It doesn't matter. We'll just move on.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get started. So I want to start with a segment called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. In this segment, we'll talk about the good things, the bad things, and the ugly things that we saw the past week. I try to choose topic titles that make it really easy to understand it. Yeah. What it is. Okay, so first, the good. There were some good things today, I would say.
Oh, today? Yeah. It was all good. And
yeah.
If we're going to combine that with the rest of the week, the first three games of the season, it kind of evened out.
No, going through the good, the bad, and the ugly, the good was just the Clippers game. Like, just all of it.
Really the only bright spot of the first three games.
But, talk about a bright spot.
It was like, awesome. I mean, they set the NBA record for...
A lead at the half.
Yeah, 50-point lead at halftime. And then it was just kind of smooth sailing from there. They came out right from the get-go. And you can tell the Clippers, I don't know, they just didn't look very interested in this game. I think once Paul George was struggling, they were like, screw it. You know, Kawhi's out, Marcus is out.
Pandemic P.
Yeah, he's not going to lead us. Yeah. So once that happened, and for some reason, the Mavericks are in Paul George's head. They're in his head because he really struggles against Dallas.
He just had a bad game.
Like, yeah, but it seems like he had two amazing games to start the year against the Lakers and against the Nuggets. And then against the Mavericks, he just really struggles.
Yeah. Everything was good. Everything was good. You know, I feel comfortable saying this because, you know, this is our little thing. Mm-hmm. And everyone listening, I feel like we're a little community here. I do think it's funny that on Twitter and Reddit, I've seen these like, you know, yeah, I told you guys to calm down after two games, they'll be fine. And I'm like, okay, so reacting to two games, that's worse than reacting to just one game. Yeah. Now all of a sudden everything is okay. And I'm not saying it's not. I mean, it's possible they've turned a corner and I'm not going to dog on them or anything, but I just find it funny that, you know, we're
over. Don't be over emotional unless we win.
Unless we win and it's one game, then it's like everything's fine. But anyways, it was a really good game. And a lot of the trends that we saw that led to losses, those things changed. And I do think that it was a good matchup for the Mavericks, which we'll get to kind of when we talk about the bad. The Clippers don't have a dominant big man offensively. Like, obviously Zubats is huge and they have those guys, but it's not like playing an Anthony Davis or even against the Suns, DeAndre Ayton. And so the Mavericks' lack of size and starting Powell and Finney Smith, I think, was not really a problem.
Yeah, I don't think it really is as big of a deal when you're going against other teams' bigs. Obviously, that's a big problem, especially when you saw the Lakers. I really thought Carlisle was going to make an adjustment to the starting lineup because you couldn't have Dwight Powell and Dorian Finney-Smith.
Apparently you could.
Yeah, going against Marc Gasol and Anthony Davis.
But we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're just talking about the good things right now.
All right.
Yeah, so
on the Mavs for winning today.
Yeah, I thought it was a matchup that helped them out. And they just came out with more energy. And that played out across the board. There was better player movement, better defense. I thought Luka was aggressive, which he also did good against the Lakers, but even more so in this game and using his body. Josh Richardson was aggressive. It was a lot more energy and the focus, and that just helped them in both sides of the court.
Well, it was good to see them react that way after the first two games. So the fact that they can come back after some pretty bad losses or poor performances, it really, at this point, it's can they maintain that level of effort? Because that was the problem. But they played well. I'll keep it positive because we're on the good stats.
Well, and they did. I mean, like, this is, I think, you know, these players are capable of doing this. And, you know, I talked, like, after the first two games, I remember saying, like, I just don't see as much ball movement. Yeah, like, I mean, they're good for probably, like, max two passes per possession, and then it's a shot or something. Yeah. There just wasn't a lot of ball movement. And in this game, there was, but I think what led to the better ball movement was better player movement. Mm-hmm. You had guys cutting or getting to a spot, and that opened things up for passes and better shots.
Totally agree.
Yes. I thought you had something to add. Yeah, so I thought that was really good. And then defensively, just the energy there. They had a lot of steals. They actually out-rebounded the Clippers 54-36.
Which was great to see. Yeah. And I thought their defense was really, really good. I really like the defense that you get from Josh Richardson. I think we were expecting that. But James Johnson,
man, I really
he's
like
got
James Johnson.
Really good hands. And he there was a point in the Clippers game, I mean, in the Lakers game, where it was him and James Johnson, and Josh Richardson were on the court at the same time. Yeah. And they created like five turnovers in a row. And then, you know, obviously we went back to...
We took them out.
Yeah, we took them out right after that. But they create a lot of turnovers. Mm-hmm. They have really good hands, quick hands, good...
hands.
No, the anticipation. They have great anticipation on where the ball is going to go. So I really like how James Johnson has been playing.
Yeah, I really like James Johnson. Like, I just... His defense... His one-on-one defense is great. The jobs that he's done against, like, you know, today playing against Paul George, he's just a very, to me, he's a good, he looks like a good defender.
Well, he's strong.
Yeah. And his, like, the skill is there too.
Well, and I think what, a lot of what the Mavericks lack is the ability to move guys off of their spots.
Yes.
And James Johnson, James Johnson has the strength and size to be able to do that because they have guys like Dwight Powell and Dorian who can do really good defense on the player when they have their shot. Like they're not forcing these guys
in their spot.
Yeah, they're not forcing these guys out of their spots. They just do a good job of getting a hand
contesting.
Up. Contesting, exactly. But they don't have the strength to move people off the block. Mm-hmm. And James Johnson really has that size and ability to do that.
And good foot speed. Like he can stay with guys. Yeah. He plays the point guard when he's out there.
Yeah, I really like that today. He didn't do that much the previous two games, but today you saw that a lot, which is nice because one of the problems was the lack of size that the Mavs had on the guard unit coming off the bench. And so having James Johnson be able to play the point, it keeps the ball moving because with Trey Burke and Jalen Brunson. Yeah, and Trey Burke and Jalen Brunson are shoot-first guards. And if they have bigger wings on them, the ball doesn't move as well because they can't get free. But James Johnson was really moving the ball well. I really like having him run the point on the second unit.
Yeah, I mean, like, not just he had some good passes, but, you know, before that, his court vision, like to be able to see those guys open, he just, to me, he showed that he had really good court
that
vision.
That was one of the biggest surprises whenever we don't know much about James Johnson before he was in Dallas, but I watched a lot of highlights of him once the Mavericks got him, and I was surprised how good of a passer he really was. Mm-hmm. And I think, thankfully, the Mavericks are taking advantage of that and using him in really a nice role with that second unit.
Yeah, you made it. So before the season started, your bold prediction was that James Johnson would eventually make it into the starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I still believe he should be starting ahead of Dorian. At the four. Yeah, I think it's a better fit. He's a little bit stronger, and that's what you want from your four. Like, fours aren't straight wings right now. It's not there yet. There's still a lot of bigger fours out there, and Dorian's just not big enough. And I think James Johnson almost can play like that Draymond Green type role. I'm not saying he's Draymond Green, so I don't want people to kill me on Twitter. But yeah, he has the ability to allow Luka to play off the ball a little bit because he's such a good passer. And we haven't seen much of Luka and James Johnson on the court together very often. I'd like to see that a little bit more, but I personally think he should be starting.
Yeah, I mean, like just him bringing the ball up, I think kind of opens things up in terms of how you can initiate the action if it's him instead of Luka.
It was insane. I think it would be a nice wrinkle.
Yeah, yeah.
To
I mean,
run.
Not that I
mean,
don't
you don't
want
to do that every
Luka
single time, but it would be a nice wrinkle to run that a little bit. But I think it's just more of the fit defensively. He is big enough to play some of the bigger fours. He's quick enough to play some of the wings. Defensively, he's got great hands. He moves people off of their spots.
He's active.
Yeah,
he has energy. Yeah,
I don't think he's the answer for the Mavericks long term. I don't think he's Giannis, which is what they wanted ultimately in that four spot.
Yeah.
But I think for this team, he's a better fit at the four starting than Dorian.
Yeah, I think the problem with starting Hardaway at the three, which is really where Dorian should be starting, is that now Dorian has to start at the four. Plus, you have Hardaway at the three, so I think that creates a lot of mismatches defensively.
In a bad way.
Yeah, in a bad way. And so I think that can hurt them on defense and in rebounding, too.
And Dorian's not good enough offensively to impact it on the other end of the court. You're not going to force the Lakers to play small because we have Dorian playing the four.
Yeah.
So for me, James Johnson should be the starting power forward for the Mavericks.
I mean, I saw a lot of stuff that I like, and I don't know. It's like, I don't think he's an amazing player.
He's not an all-star.
So I'm like, I don't know, is he a starting caliber player? But maybe, like you said, is the best option for what they have on their roster.
He might not be a starting caliber player, but let's be honest.
Is Dwight Powell a starter?
Or Dorian. Dorian's not a starter in this league.
He's not a starting four.
There was a funny, I thought, kind of overlooked thing that was said on the Lakers game. And it was the national broadcasters, and they were talking about the starting lineups. And they said the Mavs rolling out there with two guys that were drafted in the second round and an undrafted player on their starting lineup. And I think that told volumes of the quality the Mavericks have on their starting lineup. And Dorian is just not a starter. James Johnson should be the four.
Well, these guys are, like, give them credit. Dorian has developed his game. The Mavs have found guys that were second round picks, and they developed them. But you don't want a whole starting lineup of guys that were second round picks.
And are we going to do the whole lineup right now? Do we want to continue that, or are we going to save that for another segment?
No, we'll do that maybe next or whatever. But yeah, that's one reason why I like James Johnson is because I think he solves a lot of their problems. And I said this, I think I said this in our last episode, that I know, like, with Dwight Powell, it can open things up offensively, but you lose a lot defensively. And if the Mavs really are serious
about defense,
then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, and Carlisle did say that rebounding and defense was a concern.
Yeah. Another thing that they didn't really answer was a secondary playmaker. Now, I'm not saying James Johnson is great, but if you add James Johnson with that starting lineup with Josh Richardson, so now you got two guys that are okay at making a play instead of just Josh Richardson being the secondary guy. And he's a nice player, but he's not the answer. And so I think it just adds an additional playmaker, especially with Porzingis. I think he would really open up a lot of shots for Porzingis because he's such a good passer.
Yeah. I really like James Johnson.
Yep, me too.
Yeah. Okay, so to wrap this up, what of this game do you think can be replicated? Because obviously a 50-point blowout, there's a lot of things happened there that will probably never happen again. But a win is a win, so you did something right. What do you think that they can reasonably replicate going forward?
I mean, their offensive game. They're an offensive team still. They don't have the personnel to be a good defensive team, especially if they're not going to play their defensive players.
If they're going to start, they're not going to start them out of position.
So they're still going to be an offensive minded team. We didn't see good offense from them from the first two games, but in this one you saw more movement, you saw better shooting,
more aggressiveness,
more motion. So I think that you'll see going on. I think their defense is going to come and go.
Yeah, again, just on the aggression, I thought Josh Richardson, he played well in the first two games. I really didn't have any complaints about him, but especially in this game, he was just even more aggressive, driving, looking for a shot, looking to initiate a play. And I think that, again, it just opened up everything.
I really like having Hardaway and Richardson playing with Luka. I know Hardaway's got some defensive deficiencies, but offensively, those three, once they all start playing well at the same time, I think Hardaway got a little bit of his rhythm back against the Clippers. He was terrible in the first two games, and he was shooting some old YOLO Hardaway shots, which he really got away from as the season went on last year. But I really like that combo.
I would agree. Their player movement, ball movement, energy, aggression, I think that can be replicated.
Oh, it will be.
It's just a matter of a mindset.
Well, a mindset, and when you have Luka, and you have Carlisle in the system that they play, offensively, the Mavericks are going to be fine.
Okay, so the bad. My bad was, well, not my bad. This is the Mavericks' bad, because obviously we're talking about the Mavericks. My bad that I said my bad, because I really meant the Mavs. Okay. Struggles versus size. And this is something that we thought would be a problem based on the preseason. They struggled against the size of the Timberwolves and the Bucks. And we thought just based on their personnel, it would be a trend. And I think that it has been against the Lakers and against the Suns. And again, I think a lot of it is just starting guys out of position, starting Hardaway at 3, Dorian at 4, and even Powell at 5.
Playing him at period.
Well, yeah, but just across the board, those guys are playing out of position. Mm-hmm. It's small. And so you're going to struggle against teams that have dominant offensive big men. And it just so happens that like some of the best teams in the league right now have dominant offensive big men.
Well, especially the Lakers specifically. Yeah. I mean, I before the Lakers game, we were talking about it, and we really believed that Carlisle would make an adjustment to the starting lineup.
I
was shocked.
I was that he went out there
with Dorian and Powell against Marc Gasol and Anthony Davis. I thought it was a stubborn move by Carlisle. He has this love affair for Dwight Powell and Dorian that he just will not refuse. Yeah. He will not accept that they're just okay players. And in the case of Dwight, he's or just
that,
not very good.
Or that they shouldn't. Like, I just want to emphasize this. I was shocked, like stunned that he started that lineup against the Spurs.
And then you want to wonder.
Against the Lakers. Yeah.
And you wonder why they got destroyed on the rebounds. Yeah. And yes, it was an effort problem, but it was a size problem. I mean, Anthony Davis,
Marc Gasol.
And you had Dorian, who, first of all, Dwight Powell's averaging 3 rebounds a game. That's your starting center
right
now.
And after his Achilles injury, you can't expect him to go against a guy like Anthony
Davis.
He
wasn't good
Marc
before
Gasol.
The Achilles injury. So he's just not a good player.
Yeah.
He's just not. And yeah, I was shocked. I thought you would make an adjustment, maybe start Kleba and Cauley-Stein.
Or
at
just
4
one
and 5
of,
or just one
something.
Of them
like,
just to add some size.
The
but
Lakers are so freaking big. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's no way he's going to start Powell and Dorian. And when he did, I just couldn't believe it. And yeah, they got out-rebounded 53-27 and then the second chance points.
Got destroyed.
Yeah, and literally.
And my biggest problem with that starting line, I know Porzingis is out, but even when Porzingis comes back, it's not so much a length and a height problem. It's a size and strength problem that they lack is when you're playing Dorian at the 4, especially when you play KP at the 5. KP is not a bulldog. You know, he's slender, he's long, he's strong.
He's strong, though.
But he, you know, he's not Anthony Davis or Dwight Howard out there moving people around with sheer muscle. So they lack strength and they got to make an adjustment to that because that hurts them defensively. Because like we were saying, they can't move people off their spots.
Yeah.
They may contest well, like they contest Anthony Davis well on his spot. It's his shot. Of course, he's going to make it. They can't move people off of them because they don't have any strength.
Yeah. So that was going to be one of my questions is like they obviously struggle against bigger teams, but
I think it's just a struggle in general.
Yeah, well, so I was going to say, like, you know, they're without Kristaps, so a lot of this is you kind of have to wait until he comes back because, like, they're without their second-best player. But does KP fix all of these problems?
Well, no, because you still have Dorian at the 4, and Dorian's not a 4.
Yeah.
He's still undersized.
Do you think they would move Powell to the 4 when KP comes back?
God, no. Powell doesn't need to play.
Well, I'm just saying, do you think they will?
I hope not. If they do, then I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about Dwight Powell. I don't know what they see or what Carlisle sees in that guy.
Yeah.
If he were on another team, he would not even be playing. He just wouldn't be. He's not any good. So I don't want to see Dwight Powell in the starting lineup, period. He does not do anything for the Mavericks. And I would love to see a change, but I really think they're going to have Dorian at the 4 and Porzingis at the 5, which is what we thought going into the season.
I don't know. I mean,
you can't play Porzingis at the 4. It's just defensively, If you had Powell and Porzingis out there, so then you
Well, that's what they did last year. They did Powell and Porzingis.
Yes, but that was before Porzingis liked the center. They did that because Porzingis, in my opinion, Porzingis, before the season started, said he loves playing the four.
Oh, okay.
But I think Carlisle did some psychological mind games to where he wasn't involved in the offense because he was playing the four. And then once he got to the five, it's like, oh, run through, pick and roll. So he wanted KP to want to play the five.
Maybe. Well, but he didn't start playing the five until Dwight Powell went out.
Went out, exactly. That was his opportunity. And that, well, as soon as that happened.
Carlisle planned that.
Well, no, but it helped Porzingis to recognize he's got to play the five.
Yeah.
You can't have Powell and Porzingis out there defensively. It would be a more of a nightmare than you already have. Another thing I want to mention.
Okay.
There was a moment in the Lakers game where you had Maxey and Powell out there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis was out there on the Lakers. Yeah. Who did Carlisle put on Anthony Davis? Powell. I kid you not, it was Dwight freaking Powell. And I'm like, I was the stubbornness.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too.
Maxey is by far the best
defender
we have on the team. Maybe arguably with Josh Richardson.
For that size.
Especially for that size of a player.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Anthony Davis has torched Powell and Kleba in the past. That's because he's Anthony Davis. But just out of principle, you put your best defender on Anthony Davis, and he had Dwight Powell guarding. Anthony Davis was guarding, you know, some no-name. I don't even remember who it was. Mm-hmm. I was shocked. I was like, how do you do that? How do you justify that?
Yeah, I was really surprised by that, too. Like, I can understand between Powell and Maxey, you see it's better to start Powell over Maxey for whatever reason. But,
no reason.
But when they're both out there, I feel like you have the benefit. You have Maxey.
Maxey,
like, he's the better defender. He should have been guarding Anthony Davis. I don't know. Maybe that was a miscommunication or something.
It happened several times.
It happened multiple times.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was a fast break, which the Mavs got killed on. It was a set offense and a set defense, and deliberately Dwight Powell was guarding Anthony Davis. And I just don't understand it.
Yeah, so when Kristaps comes back, we're not really sure what Carlisle is going to do. If he's going to start Dorian at the four or Dwight at the four, or if maybe, you know, James Johnson is starting by then, or Maxey, whatever. We don't really know what's going to happen. But these struggles against size, I guess it's hard to know then if Kristaps really solves all those problems, because we don't know exactly what they're going to do when he does come back.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, we'll see when it happens. But either way, starting Dorian or Dwight Powell is not the answer.
It's definitely their Achilles heel right now.
Yeah.
They don't have size, and they don't have size that can play above their size.
And, you know, there were players available, but they were so set in stone on. And I know we don't want to go back to free agency. But they put all their eggs in the Giannis basket. They left that position open for him. They didn't sign anybody else. And now we're stuck with Dwight Powell out there playing center for the Mavericks.
Okay, so let's move into the ugly.
Uglier than that?
Yeah. I guess what I think was worse than that, because I don't know, like, lineup or roster or whatever, like, that's Carlisle's thing, or this is the roster you have. You kind of have to, like, make the best of it. But what I thought was kind of inexcusable or totally avoidable was the lack of, like, focus and effort that we saw on defense, particularly transition defense.
Mm-hmm.
But just overall, in the first two games, they just didn't really seem into these games, especially when you compare it to the way they play today. Again, I know a 50-point blowout isn't going to happen, but just they had focus, they showed energy, and to their transition defense in those first two games was just awful. It was like insulting to watch, and it's just weird to see that to start the season. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I would imagine you come out of the gates sort of on fire, or, you know, you and teams sometimes overperform to start the season and then settle down.
But some teams also struggle. And I think it's a little bit more unique because of the circumstances.
You mean like the
shortened training camp, less
but
preseason
we're talking
games.
About effort and focus.
Well, I get that. I mean, but a lot of their transition, I know a lot of people want to blame Luka because he complains.
He doesn't get back.
But that's not really the only problem. When you watch their transition defense, nobody's in position. Nobody picks up the right man. They're all picking up the wrong person.
Or
they don't pick up anybody. It's not just a Luka problem.
Yeah, but I think part of that is because not everyone gets back.
Well, yes.
And so
that's true.
When
but
it's a 3-on-5, you can't cover everybody.
Yeah, but there are certain techniques, you know, that you do to do the best you can yeah. in a fast break. And the Mavericks had poor technique in their fast break defense, aside from people not getting back.
I think it's both. I think
Well, it is, obviously.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. It like Luka doesn't get back. Although that wasn't really a problem in this game, but a lot of times Luka doesn't get back and then other players don't get back. And I don't know if it's because Luka isn't or maybe they just don't want to. So they don't get back. That's a problem. So that's an automatic bucket.
It's also an effort. It just yeah, shows the exactly. effort problem.
But then even when they do get back, they don't match up well. Mm-hmm. They don't match up. They like run back, but they don't know what to do or mm-hmm. where to go. Or maybe they're just not putting forth the effort. Maybe they do know where to go yeah. and they just don't do it. But that lack of like focus and energy, that was weird. And that's one thing that why I put that as the ugly instead of just the bad is because Kristaps doesn't solve that problem. Like the effort and focus on defense, that's just you. You're just going to have to do that or not.
Well, and to be fair, the Lakers are an excellent fast break team.
They're
but
an excellent team
yes,
in general.
But if you're going to compete with these kind of teams deep in the playoffs, you have to be able to guard what they do well. And right now, obviously, they can't. They didn't show any ability yeah. to do that. But yeah, the fast break defense was bad. Their overall defense, I thought in Phoenix, I thought their defense was fine. One thing that we're seeing a little bit from the Mavericks defensively is their ability to create turnovers, mm-hmm. which last year, I think they were dead last in the league or something like that. They just mm-hmm. couldn't create turnovers. You're seeing a little bit of a change, and a lot of them are by Josh Richardson and James Johnson. So that is kind of a good sign to see.
Yeah.
But the effort was a little strange. It is the first two games of the season, but it was frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I guess I hope it's not a trend, you know, like the Clippers game, that's one game. Like I was saying in the beginning, like if you can't overreact to two games and you can't overreact to one game, yeah. we don't really know what they're going
to
be like.
I think it's too early to determine yeah. what kind of trends we're going to see. I think 20 yeah. games into it, you'll be able to see what kind of trends that the Mavericks have.
You know, it's funny, like I promised myself I wasn't going to overreact to anything in the first 20 games because this is what Carlisle does. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what the Mavs do every single year. The first 20 games, they just suck because not that the Mavericks suck, but as a fan watching it, it sometimes sucks because Carlisle does these weird lineups like he was happening right now.
Yeah, he doesn't do the obvious.
He just does this weird crap and you're like, just do what makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you have weird trends. And
like, well, he for him, like the first 10 games of the season or 15 games, it's all data collection. All yeah. he is doing is collecting data with all the different lineups,
so
all the different players.
So he just tries all the weird
players.
Crap.
Yeah, so he just tries everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes something that's not working, we're like, dude, what are you doing? He continues to roll it yeah. because he's just trying to collect as much data. And it's like sometimes he sacrifices wins in order for data collection going yeah. on later in the season. And to be fair, sometimes late in the season or in the playoffs, he's a master.
In the playoffs, he's a master.
But it's yeah. frustrating to watch as a player because...
As a fan,
yeah. And I'm sure it is as a player. You can't tell me Cauley Stein isn't sitting on the... And I'm not saying Cauley Stein's a great player. He's not.
No.
But you got to think, he's like, dude, how come I cannot start ahead of Dwight Powell?
Yeah.
There is no logical explanation to that. So, yeah, it's got to be frustrating for him to watch.
Well, anytime James Johnson or Willie Cauley-Stein come in, I feel like the game changes.
A little
like,
bit more energy.
And not even just energy, but just they do things that weren't happening, whether it's defense or rebounding or turnovers. Mm-hmm. It's just things that weren't happening. I feel like everything just changes when they come in. And I don't know, maybe it's the guys, you know, they're going against bench players or it's the guys that they're playing with. But
it's possible. Yeah. But, you know, the fact is it's happening.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let us know what you guys think. Again, I'm on Twitter @_SydneyMyers or on YouTube if you're listening. What do you think about our picks for the good, the bad, and the ugly? And then what did you see in this past week that you liked or didn't like? Okay, so we talked a little bit about what problems does Kristaps solve when he comes back. Let's dig into that a little more. What has being without Kristaps revealed about this team?
They don't have a lot of talent. They don't have a lot of talent.
That's harsh.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. But yeah. Again, they're playing guys like Dorian and Powell, who wouldn't even play on another team. And
they're
starting.
They definitely wouldn't start.
They wouldn't play. Like, you cannot convince me that any team in the league, Dwight Powell, who averages 3 points and three rebounds, would be playing. And he's starting for us. And it's not like he put up huge numbers in the past. He's never been a good player. So we have guys that really shouldn't even be playing that are playing. They also lack, I think, point guard depth.
Well, you know, in today's game against the Clippers, I saw Hardaway playing a lot with the bench guys.
Yeah,
which I thought was an interesting wrinkle because it just gave them a little more scoring punch.
And I think it helped also with James Johnson running the point.
Yeah,
because Jalen, look, we've had three seasons of Jalen, and Jalen is a nice guy, but he's an okay player. I just don't know if he's your answer as a backup point guard.
Yeah, I don't know if I want, like, Jalen Brunson and Trey Burke. I mean, we're relying on second-round pick guy that was out of the league last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want those to be my two main guys off
so
the bench.
I think they lack talent. I don't think they got enough veteran leadership help in the offseason like they said they were going to do. Enough toughness. They really got one guy for toughness, and that was James Johnson.
Yeah.
So
and he doesn't even start, so what does it matter?
Yeah, so I think they just lack talent.
Like, really, this is what I don't understand. When I hear the team talk about what they added with the toughness and defense of James Johnson, it's like, yeah, but he ain't even starting.
He's
like, what
playing,
are you talking about? Like, so, I mean, yeah, I agree with that, but that's why I think he should be starting.
Anyway, so yeah, outside of Porzingis and Luka, you can put Richardson and Hardaway in there as quality players in this league. But outside of those four, really everybody else is interchangeable.
Yeah, and it's like, so I also listen to national podcasts, like covering the NBA, and I've listened to a few recently talking about the Mavericks, and they've all said kind of the same thing. I liked one phrase that it was the Athletics NBA Daily podcast. The way that they put it was that the Mavericks have a lot of guys that do the little things, but they asked who's going to actually produce outside of Luka. And then when Kristaps comes back outside of Kristaps, but especially right now outside of Luka, they don't have guys that actually produce. And another pod kind of put it the same way. Like, they have a lot of role players, but they don't have guys that actually that score points in bunches. And then again, kind of like on the game against the Lakers, they have a lot of guys who were projects and they've developed and have become good, but they don't have a lot of, you know, NBA talent that can lead you somewhere. And all of these guys are saying kind of the same thing. It's like they have nice players that maybe are good bench players or good role players. They can make it, they're dead-eye shooters or something, but they don't have a roster full of those pieces that you really need to compete. And I don't think anyone, any Mavs fans, were saying that the Mavs were going to contend for a title this year. And so I'm not, like, I didn't think that either. I'm just saying, like, this is why they're not going to contend. And it's like,
well, sorry, go ahead, continue. Like, yeah.
So I know that whenever I talk about negative things of, like, this is why they're not good enough, there's some that are, like, willing to say, well, they're not going to contend for a championship this year anyway, so, like, why are you harping on it? And it's like, I'm not harping. I'm just explaining. We both agree they're not going to contend for a title. This is why, because their roster just isn't good enough. They don't have a lot of talent outside of Luka and Kristaps.
Well, the reason they're not going to contend is because they refuse to get talent.
Well,
They think so highly of their own players, they won't upgrade from them. They won't upgrade Jalen Brunson or Dorian, or Dwight Powell, or Maxey. They just won't upgrade from these guys because they think so highly of them. Whereas everybody else in the league is like, you're paying Dwight Powell $10 million a year. You could have not signed him. Nobody else would have picked him up. You could have brought him back for the veterans minimum.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the problem. There are guys out there.
Well, he is a good contract
George Hill, nobody. No, well, to be the filler.
No, I mean the dollar amount.
Yes, to be the filler. George Hill and Al Horford are ready to be moved on from OKC. They don't want them there. You get two veteran guys. You get some nice insurance. Yes, you got to pay Al Horford, but that's what you got to do to win. That's what you got to do to get talent. And George Hill as a backup point guard is a massive upgrade over Jalen Brunson, but they won't do it because they think Jalen Brunson is the guy.
Yeah.
And so they won't upgrade from these positions. And so that's the frustrating part. And I don't know how long they're going to refuse to. It's like these guys are all lifers. They're all Mav lifers.
Yeah.
It's like, you picked these guys to be lifers.
Seriously, if Kristaps hadn't become available, we would still have Wesley Matthews, oh, and he would still be posting up 10 times a game.
You know, it's off like his foot.
They see just different kind of value outside of basketball talent. And, you know, like, Dwight, I think, is a great locker room guy and probably a leader for the team. And I think Wesley, they said a lot of the same things about Wes. All of that is true, but also, like, they if they're produce. Losing, yes. I don't really, it just doesn't have the same kind of impact. So, I was talking with somebody on Twitter about the same thing of, like, he was asking, well, what could they have done? They didn't have any cap space once Hardaway opted in. They had a little bit that with the mid-level and all that.
Whoa. They used part of their mid-level to quickly sign Trey Burke. They immediately signed him because people were really trying to get him.
Well, anyways.
They could have just waited and used their mid-level and re-signed him.
That's true. Yeah. So they didn't have a ton of cap space. And so people were like, you know, well, what did you expect them to do this summer? They didn't have a lot. And it's like, maybe they did have some, but also they could have made trades. I think they have tradable assets and they chose not to do those things. And we know that players were available because other teams made trades. Like, any player that was traded to another team this offseason, the Mavericks could have done that trade.
I think there were like three guys, major guys, that were just outright signed. That was Gordon Hayward, Gallinari.
Gallinari was a sign and trade.
Oh, it was a sign and trade. Yeah. And then Bogdan Bogdanovic. I think that was an outright sign. If it was a sign and trade too, then again, even more proves my point. Yeah. Most teams do sign and trade, so you can't tell me that they couldn't get some of these guys. They just didn't want to.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to talk about free agency thing every time the Mavs lose a game.
Yes,
but
the point was they don't have talent.
Yeah, the question was what has been without Kristaps revealed, and to me, it reveals that they don't really have a great roster outside of those two guys. And maybe that's not news to anybody. Maybe we all know that.
No, I think it's people. I love Maxey, but
we've talked about how we love Maxey.
He's not irreplaceable.
I wouldn't say that anybody right now is I mean, outside of Luka and KP.
Well, but I'm just saying that's a lot of how some people feel. I think the Mavericks have about five guys that are actually quality players on a really good team. And I think that's
Luka, KP,
Josh Richardson, Tim Hardaway, and Maxey. I think everybody else on the roster, they wouldn't even play if they were on the Lakers or the Nets or the Clippers or Boston. They wouldn't even be playing. They wouldn't even get minutes.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion. That's what I think we saw without KP.
Okay. Feel free to answer that question. What do you think being without Kristaps has revealed? And what problems do you think, when he comes back, what problems do you think he'll solve? Let's move on to another segment so that we can kind of dig into each individual player as we've seen them in these first three games. This segment is called Blurred Lines. I think we did it a couple times last season. I'm going to read a player's stat line for a game, and you have to guess which player it is. Everybody get up. I like these kind of games because I can make fun of you for being wrong. Okay, so first, don't read the name. Okay, first guy. He had 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists in 27 minutes. Do you want to know the opponent? Or no, I'm just going to keep it like that.
I was going to say that's Dwight Powell against the Lakers.
No.
No. Okay, well then never mind.
You were wrong. Tim Hardaway Jr. against the Lakers.
Yeah. Well, he's been struggling.
Yeah, 10 points, 4 rebounds. Yeah, Hardaway Jr. really struggled in their first two games.
He bounced back against the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, everybody bounced back against the Clippers. But yeah, against the Clippers, he had 18 points, 7 for 14 shooting, 4 for 8 on threes. But yeah, the first two games, Hardaway really struggled. And I don't know if that was, you know, what we talked about with energy and focus, or if it was just...
Just struggled.
Yeah, he just struggled.
I think he'll be fine.
I think so, too.
Okay.
I agree, Martin.
All right.
Okay, next. 21 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal.
Was that Jay Rich against the Clippers?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's not fair because we just watched that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've liked Josh Richardson a lot. I don't think he's probably good enough to say, like, he's a third star kind of guy. I mean, he's averaging, I think, 17 points-ish.
He's a nice player.
He's a nice player. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's not...
He's a quality player.
Yeah, and I think when you have Luka and Kristaps, do you really need, like, a Bradley Beal? There's not a lot of teams right now that have the big three like we had back with Miami and all that.
Yeah,
so, but yeah, I've liked him, and I've liked his defense, too. Okay, next player. 11 points, 3 rebounds.
That one's Dwight.
In 24 minutes.
That's definitely Dwight.
Which game?
That was the Laker game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember I saw the stat line of 3 rebounds from your starting center. I won't go back into Dwight Powell.
Well, I mean...
That's who it is.
Okay. Next. Is this the last one? This is the last one.
Okay.
5 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals in 20 minutes. All of that production in 20 minutes.
I think that was James Johnson.
Which game?
In this current game we just watched. The Clippers, yeah. I thought he had 3 assists.
James Johnson had 3 assists. Oh, you're right. He did have 3 assists.
Okay.
Wow.
But I saw the 5 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists,
2 steals.
I thought he was great. So, yeah, that I was able to see that one beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, we already talked about James Johnson, but that's just another example. Like, he does so many things on the court. His defense, his passing. He's a pretty good shooter. I don't know, what did he shoot? He was 1-for-6 today.
Yeah, he's 1-for-16?
1-for-6.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's been a better shooter in his career in the past.
Yeah.
The last couple seasons, he hasn't had that, but he has been a better shooter, so he does have the ability, but you're not putting him out there for shooting.
Yes, good point.
All right.
Okay.
So not bad. I only got the first one wrong.
Yeah, that's true. Good job. Okay, that's Blurred Lines. To be honest with you, that's all I have for the episode.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's all we have for this episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, feel free to share your comments on Twitter or on the YouTube channel. We appreciate all of your support. Martin, do you have anything else to add?
No.
Okay, great. Thank you for the input. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.